Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to Seahawks Man to Man Podcast, powered by The Athletic. Shout out to the company. My name is Michael Sean Dugar. I'm here with my co-host, Christopher Kidd. Make sure you follow us both up on the Tweet Machine. You guys know where to follow me because I'm verified and all that good stuff. Chris, talk to him.
What is up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Kidd. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at CKIDD206 and that's CKID206.
All right, Chris, this is like what one of the rare instances where you don't have a midweek guest. A quick turnaround with the Thursday night game. Seahawks obviously lost to the Rams on Sunday. Now they're going to play Arizona Cardinals at home on Thursday night football. We can preview it ourselves, right? We're up for that, aren't we?
It's our first time doing it. It's actually weird and different because we are accustomed to asking other journalists about the team and what to expect. Although we might have seen a few games and we understand it, now we're in the hot seat.
Right. Well, also, it sucks that we don't have a – I don't think the Athletic – we don't have a full-time Arizona person, too, so it's not like – and just hop on the phone with someone. Shout out to Kat, though, Fitzgerald, the homie out there covering Arizona. She was our last guest. She's dope. But we'll handle it ourselves. Where should we start, offense or defense?
Let's go defense because that needs probably the most love at this point in time.
That's true. Well, Russ needs some loving as well. I want to get two things out the way first before we jump into either side of the ball. The first thing is the Seahawks are favored by 3. Never gamble. Just throwing that out there. Don't be a degenerate. But if you are, take the over because it's 56.5. Definitely take that. Oh, no, 57.5. Excuse me.
Take it.
The second thing, it appears that the Seahawks are going to wear their Action Green jerseys on Thursday night. So shout out to all my people in Action Green gang. I believe the Seahawks are undefeated.
That was going to be my next question. Are they undefeated?
I believe they're undefeated in the Action Green, and then they've switched to the Action Green with the blue on the bottom, which they've worn twice, I believe, and they've won both of those games. I think they were both against Minnesota, actually. I don't know if they're going green on green or green on blue. Either way, Action Green is undefeated, so keep that in mind. If you don't like the jerseys, you are just a hater. All right. Glad we got the important business out of the way. Now it's time for the defense, which, like we talked about after the Rams game, is like, was not bad.
There was, you saw improvements. You saw things that they did that was successful. It's just, can they continue it? You got it a little bit in the second half, but now it needs to be the first half and the second half for a complete game. And that's the worry. Can they get it done? We know that Jamal Adams' shoulder is really banged up, and he's going to play. Is that going to be an issue in the game? Is he going to not look the same? Probably not. Is he going to make mistakes? I hope not, because those mistakes could end up being touchdowns, huge first downs, turnovers, missed. Just anything can go wrong with a guy that's out there that's banged up.
Right.
I mean, we saw a play where Jamal clearly could have made a play, but he was like, I don't know about this.
Are you talking about the tackle on the touchdown run?
Yeah.
Or the lack thereof? Yeah, I know what you mean. That
wasn't a situation
great.
Where he was in the spotlight, and he just couldn't.
He also got armbarred a little bit, but no, his shoulder was hurting. I feel it, you know, for who, for what? You know, you got the bad shoulder out there. There's a couple of things that stand out when I'm like, okay, you guys should do this from the Seahawks, right? They pay me as a defensive consultant. Like, hey, Mike, we want to hire you, help you out for this game. Cool. Pay me a lot because I'm going to help you win.
100 bands up front.
Oh, I mean, more than that.
More than that.
They got it. They're run by a billionaire.
I would say 100 is good for
me. Now, I would probably settle for 100, but I'm going to start higher. Oh. I'm like, I need half a mil here. like, because I'm going to give you
what's
some insights.
What's the point victory? What's the spread here on this point victory? Is it minus seven for you, Mike, with your defensive game plan?
No, I'm just going to – it don't matter about the spread when you're just trying – I'm just – defense.
I'm guaranteeing you a victory. This is what I got.
Actually, you know what? I wouldn't be able to guarantee a victory. I just can guarantee your defense will play better, right? Because there's three sides of the ball, I guess, technically.
If the defense plays better, that's a victory, Mike.
It should, but Russ might turn it over again. You never know. Russ, did you know, Chris?
He's struggling.
Russ is leading the league in turnovers since the bye week. He has 10 turnovers.
Yes.
No other player in the NFL, it's usually quarterbacks, but no other player in the NFL has double digits. I think Daniel Jones and Carson Wentz, I think, are like right there. Lamar Jackson's turned it over a lot, too, in the last few weeks. But that is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
So that's got to change. But if you're hiring me to do the defense, I can't necessarily guarantee Russ won't do that. Right? You got to hire me for the offense, too. Not double the price. That's how that go. Anyway, I would start with DeAndre Hopkins. Right, because that dude is different. Like, have you seen the they did like an NFL film slowdown of his? He was mic'd up, actually. I think he was mic'd up against the Seahawks last time. Have you seen some of that where he's just like, he beats Quentin Dunbar for the touchdown, and he's just like, come on, bro. He's like, he goes back to college, man, just throw it up. And then, obviously, in the Bills game that they just won, he just threw it up. That's what you do in a Hail Mary. But the point is, you got to do something to bother D-Hop. I know defensive coordinators look at star players multiple ways. Some of them are like, yo, we're just going to make everyone else have to beat us. We're going to take away your best dude and make everyone else have to go off. It's kind of like how I think the Seahawks have done that before. They did that against the Steelers in 2015. They tried to, like, shut down A.B. and somebody had 200 yards. Someone was like Martavis Bryant Marcus Wheaton. One of those two fast dudes ended up having, like, 200 yards. And it was like Seahawks won.
We'll take it.
And then, like, even like, they've done it before. Now this is going to bother me. But a good example of, like, working against the Seahawks is last time they played the Cardinals, what? DK had 5 targets. Tyler had 15.
200 yards.
It was for 200 yards, right? Because that's how it goes. If I'm this, and then the Cardinals, though, they won. Partly because Russ was just throwing the ball all over the place to the wrong team. But if you hire me, I walk in there and say, hey, guys, there's always going to be two guys on DeAndre Hopkins. I don't care if he goes to the bathroom. Two guys in there. I don't care. One dude holding the door open, you know, one day right there by the sink. I want everybody, you know, he right there. Follow him everywhere. I don't really care if it's Trey or DJ Reed underneath. I don't really think that matters. But there's always going to be at least one corner, and then I'm either going to have Jamal, I'm either going to have Quandre, I'm either going to have, we're going to drop some linebackers underneath, you know, even get creative. You have strong side linebacker KJ Wright. If you're on the same side of the formation as D-Hop, you have Trey play off, but what do? Boom, you drop KJ Wright underneath it. Either way, we're going to scheme this around so, yo, there's all everywhere DeAndre Hopkins goes. I don't care if he goes to, you know, shake a season ticket holder's hand, whatever. Oh, I guess the game's here, so they won't be. But you guys get my point. Two dudes wherever he goes. Like, that's step one. Because, like, Chris, I don't know what D-Hop did last time against them. I have to look it up. But I just can't feel comfortable letting the dude who's supposed to beat us if I'm coaching a team. I never want the dude who's supposed to kill us to kill us. Because that just means, like, what the hell did we prepare for, you know?
You're right. What the hell did we prepare for if the Seahawks are going to allow DeAndre Hopkins to go for 10 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, which he did the first matchup.
Oh, yeah, I see it now. Yeah, 12 targets.
I mean, that's efficient, and that's just saying, you can't stop me. Throw it to me every time, and I'm going to catch it. And he pretty much did that. The Seahawks got to figure something out. And one way to figure something out would be trying to figure out what you're going to do pressure-wise on Kyler Murray.
That would be step two, yeah, is the
quarterback.
Because
if you can slow down DeAndre Hopkins, that means, A, the pressure's getting there because now he doesn't have that quick read because, A, he's doubled, and, B,
he might throw it anyway if he's doubled, but at least we have two guys there.
Okay, that's fair, though. There's two guys there, and you hope that one of those two guys can make a play, and it doesn't end up being a Hail Mary touchdown
scenario. Yeah, that was bad.
Because we know what he is capable of doing. This isn't the first time we've seen him make incredible catches. But it was incredible to see him have a game-winning catch to that magnitude when there's, other hands involved?
Yeah, the picture of that is pretty crazy. Like, how many other hands are touching the ball? And he's just, nah. D-Hop is different.
He is different.
But you can't let, like, the Dunbar play, the touchdown they gave up. Now, the Seahawks were, if you watch the replay of it, they're not even aligned. Like, half the guys are not, they're looking at each other, and then Kyler just snaps it. But either way, it was Quentin and D-Hop one-on-one. It's like, I don't even want to put Quentin in that position. I want to put Trey in that position. You just can't. You can't do that. You have to tell the look you guys in the eye and say, look, you can't guard D-Hop one-on-one. And that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't mean you're not a good player. You got to give him the talk. But it's okay. That's all right. No one can. Maybe like Deion Sanders in his prime. Like that's it. But even then, Deion's probably used to being able to get more handsy on corners or on receivers than you can now. Like, I don't know how the hell, like, Revis has been able to guard him if he has in those matchups. Jalen Ramsey, guys like that. But you got to look them in the eye and say, look, DJ Reed, love you. We ain't going to leave you one-on-one on D-Hop. We're not going to do that. That's bad to film for you, buddy. Trey Flowers, same thing. Love you. We ain't going to leave you one-on-one on D-Hop, right? Because that's you have a family. Right? We just ain't going to put that on national TV, right? Because you don't deserve that. You don't. I don't know who's calling the game. On who's got the game?
Troy Aikman and I believe Joe Buck.
See what they're going to do.
I know Troy's going to be out there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Because, no, if it was the Collinsworth broadcast, Collinsworth, he won for he'll spotlight the hell out of you. And they'll just loop it on the same play at you getting whooped. He's like, bro,
not a good look.
I got a family, man. My high school homies is watching this. Can't have that. That's step one. Step two, you're right. You got to do something against Kyler. Because what was it? 50 dropbacks? Last time,
touchdowns and yards.
Zero QB hits,
not one.
Zero.
He did get
QB hits.
He did get. He tried to run outside, and Ryan Neal was able to get him for a tackle for a loss. It wasn't considered a sack
because it's a run play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was as close as they got to hitting him, and that can't be the situation on Thursday Night Football.
No.
That means he's gonna have 400 yards, 3 or 4 touchdowns. Hopefully, the Seahawks can create a turnover, but I guarantee you DeAndre Hopkins is not going to let Puna punch it out again.
Oh, he might, man. Puna big as hell.
He is big as hell, but I think DeAndre's going to have two hands on it this time. That's the difference.
He
only
might.
Had one, and Puna came through and bam.
You never know. Kyler fumbled twice in the last game, too. So, I mean, you just got to hit the dude. That's the
You
got
to get to him.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, you go out and get Carlos Dunlap. You want him to produce. This is the game where you're expecting big things.
He has played well in both the games he's played
and
in.
He needs to continue and play well again. Because all that does is it opens it up for everyone else on that defensive line. If he's drawing that much attention, someone else needs to make a play. It's really that simple.
And you got Jamal, too.
Well, I think they should blitz Jamal as they have been doing. Spotty here and there. Get him in the backfield because he can't be stopped either. As we talked about off wax, he's leading the team in sacks at 5.5 through 5 games.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, that's a sack a game, sack and a half.
Yeah, no, he's killing it. He's getting into the back. I mean, Carlos, I think initially he got credited for half a sack against the Rams, but I think they ended up giving the whole thing to Puna. Or else, I would say like he's had a sack in every game he's played too. But I mean, he's basically just been effective.
And that's
in
what
every
you
game.
Want. You want him to be effective, and this is the perfect matchup because you have a escape artist in Kyler Murray. When you're going up against Jared Goff, he ain't going nowhere. Jared Goff ran once, and he ran right out of bounds because he saw Jamal Adams coming. Cool. But now you're going up against a guy that can create, and that's going to be the challenge there. Because Russ, he does a lot in practice, I'm sure. Running around, creating things. Well, now you have to game plan for a player like Russ who can do the similar things as in get guys open just by using his feet, pointing, hey, go here, go there. You got to figure that out. And I think Shaquem Griffin has an opportunity to get on the field. Can he be the guy that is keeping an eye on Kyler and even Jordan Brooks? We saw Jordan Brooks make a huge play on third down, flying across the middle, making a play, punching the ball out, sending it to fourth down. Okay, he can move. Great. But put him in situations where he's going after a quarterback like Kyler. And the smart thing is, if you're a defender, you don't want to attack at someone like Kyler. You kind of sit and wait. Because once he gets going and you're moving full speed, all it takes is one cut and you're out of position and you're beat. That's what happens in the NFL a lot. Some of these guys are going too fast. They're trying to make a play. And all it takes is one move, and now you're out of position. If you're smart, you're sitting there waiting. You know he's going to dance. And then he dances right to you. You just got to wrap him up, which is still hard as hell because Kyler, he's 5'9 and 190, maybe 200 pounds, and he's shifty. You just got to stay in your fundamentals. Break down. Let him come to you. And I'm sure the coaches are breaking. Hey, don't go out there trying to make a play running full speed. You're going to miss. Let him come to you. Hopefully the pressure can get there, and now you have a situation where Kyler's uncomfortable, and that can lead to fumbles, that can lead to interceptions. I mean, he gifted the Seahawks one. He just threw it over the middle, and Quandre Diggs was
thanks
for the present. I don't know if that's going to happen. Now you have to get pressure on him because he's confident. He turned the ball over a lot the first game, but they also won the game. That's one leg up for him. He's coming into this game if I don't turn the ball over, we beat these guys by two or three touchdowns. I got one of the best receivers on my team. I got a veteran Larry Fitzgerald. We have Kenyon Drake back. This is going to be a chance for me to prove that I am in that conversation as one of the best in the league.
So the one thing here's where I think that the Shaquem spy thing or whoever, I don't like it because I don't think there's anyone in space. Because once he gets to whoever that you have spying, he's in space with him and they're screwed. Like, unless it's.
And that's why I'm saying you got to just be patient. You can't go at him. You got to let him come to you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So let's say, all right, example here. It's third and whatever, and he breaks out of the pocket, and you had Shaquem in the middle of the field, and it's third and seven, right?
To be honest, not to cut you off, I wouldn't even put him in the middle of the field. I would put him on his weak side.
Well, if he just goes the other way, then.
Well, I would start him in the middle, but then once the play breaks, kind of shift him over. Like, slide over, cheat over. Make him run to his left, because now if he's running to his left, it's going to be very hard for him to throw across the body. And if you have good coverage on that side, he's not going to be able to throw to anyone. He's either going to have to run it or attempt a throw across the body, which if you're a Seahawks defense, that is, you're licking your chops, because now you can make a play, which hopefully you can. He's throwing across his body from the left side of the field to the right. That's what I would try. I'm not saying you start him in the middle, but of course he starts in the middle. But then once the play starts rolling, you move him. And now Kyle's like, what is going on? And if Carlos Dunlap's able to get pressure on that opposite side, now you've created a position where Kyler can't go to the right. He's forced to the left. It's almost like you're sliding all that pressure to one side. But now you got Shaquem like, how you doing? If you're going to try to beat me, I'm not going to fall for it. I'm ready for it. You have the help on the sideline, and you can't go the other way.
So I don't necessarily trust anyone. Because eventually, the point of the spy would get to him, unless you blitz the spy. The spy would get to him.
I wouldn't do that against Kyler.
Right. Well, here's why I'm going to get to that. So let's say you have a spy, right, and it's Shaquem versus it's Shaquem or Jordan, because that's what Jordan basically was doing in college.
Yep.
Was spying the mobile quarterbacks they had in the Big 12. It's him versus Kyler in a foot race to the pylon or the what's it called? The first down marker. I don't trust anyone doing it. It's just mostly because – When you're waiting and you're being patient for him to come to you, you're on the defense. You're the defense.
It's tougher. You're right.
I wouldn't even let him get out of the pocket.
And like, that's on the pass rush. That's something they have to work on as well. It's a two team partnership. Your D lineman got to make sure he doesn't get that outside presence, and if he does. Shaquem's going to have to come up a little bit, but again, you still got to be patient because he's going to come to you. He might gain 8, but you know what you're going to get? A hit on him.
Maybe. That's the thing, because yes. Shaquem's fast.
He is.
But speed is not the only thing you need. You need, like, real deal tackle discipline because, yep. like the Hail Mary that he threw, he's running to his left.
Oh, the Hezzy was so cold.
And exactly. I think that's a lineman. He does it too, but the point still remains.
Still cold.
He hesitates, dude, and is able to shift his hips to be able to launch the ball however many yards. So I don't even want to put my guys in that spot. Like, if he's going to get there, but what I would – if, like, again, if they give me the half a mil I need, or at least $100,000, I'm like, yo, you be the you make him react to what you're doing, because if you guys have to react to him, you are gonna be screwed, because that dude has he runs like Stewie Griffin. He runs like a baby that done stole something. He got the little feet. He just gonna be moving, and you guys are gonna be screwed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's why I'd be afraid.
And I feel you on that.
It's like, that's why you can't spy with Bobby. They tried something a little bit like this with Lamar to a lesser extent, but it's the when they break outside like that, your best bet is to have someone in the middle and really, like, following him when he rotates. But I don't think these new quarterbacks, it's not like spying Cam or Russell, like Team Spy Russell, or even Dak, who they spied, or some other black dudes. I don't know. Just the other running, even Josh Allen, you white guy. Like, you spying those dudes is a little different, because they're Lamar and Kyler are too.
You got quick fast.
Ain't nobody ever seen this. And then when you do get near them, okay, it's one juke move, and now you're on SportsCenter. So being the aggressor, like turning your defense into your offense, I think that's actually what the teams have been doing really well against the Seahawks. They're making Russell react to what they're doing.
Another player I think could work out, because they send him on blitz packages a lot, is Jamal Adams. Instead of him going in, now he's just like, I see you, Kyler. Because he's not the best guy when it comes to coverage. He can do it,
But yeah, he could definitely cover.
You got to put him in certain positions to do it. You don't want him guarding Larry Fitzgerald every play. You don't want him guarding Diop every now and then. But I think if you can bring him up and maybe send a linebacker into his zone, and now he's just simply watching Kyler, he is one guy that is, A, fast enough, and he's played the game long – well, not long enough, but he understands and he's smart and intelligent, and he knows that Kyler's fast. He knows he got to get to him quick. And if there was someone that I could trust to go in and attack instead of waiting – it would be Jamal Adams.
I would, for what it's worth, I would trust other guys to go in and be the aggressor. I think basically my plan would be, look, we're just trusting our guys to get there. Like, I'd send Jordan Brooks, or hell, I'd even send KJ. I'd send Shaquem. I wouldn't have them wait. Like, we're just gonna send the dogs, and we're gonna dogs go bite or hunt or
you're
whatever.
You're referencing blitzing here, right?
Yes, that's what I. Yeah, send
I don't
the soldiers.
Think the blitz is something that you should do. We saw what happened when they blitzed. Last time you had one-on-one coverages, didn't really work out for the Seahawks' favor.
Who, against Kyler?
Yes.
Well, Kyler was a little different the first game. They played a lot of, like, they were rushing three, spying with Shaquem.
How about this? They tried everything and nothing really worked.
They blitzed a little bit, and they got there sometimes. Like, they got guys on, like Bobby blitzed, for example, right up the gut, had two hands on Kyler,
slipped out.
Yeah, and slipped out. Jay Reed, same. It wasn't a blitz, obviously, because it's Jay Reed, but. Got there, two hands on him,
slipped out.
So I'm basically to my dogs. I'm like, yo, ain't no slipping. You get that man,
hold him
to the yes. Do whatever. I don't care if you bite him. You know.
Wow, is that a fly? Well, you get somebody tough, but I feel you.
No, I mean, hey, whatever you got to do to get the man, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get him to the ground. That's what Bobby would tell you. Whatever it takes. I don't care what it takes.
Yeah.
Get him on the ground. That would be my goal. Because what they did last time was try to sit there and wait. And like, okay, if he scrambles, we got a plan for it. Played the zones to do it. And it's like, well, that did not work. He was the leading rusher for the Cardinals, and he ran for a touchdown.
This is without Carlos, though.
Yeah. Oh, Dunlap. Yeah. Yeah. It'll make a little bit of difference to have Carlos and have Jamal, too. I think the way teams are getting to Russell – and we'll talk about that with the offense, is they're being the aggressor. They're saying, hey, Russ, we already know you're going to be great. We ain't going to wait. We just going to try to hit you in the mouth first and make you counter to us. I think that's what you got to do with Kyler, too, because the game's already slanted towards the offense anyway. So if you wait and have to react, unless you have elite defenders, which I don't think the Seahawks have a couple, but not enough. It's not like the Legion of Boom. That was elite. Everybody was elite. They had a top five player at every level of the defense. That is ridiculous.
Scary.
That is ridiculous. They had that for like 5 years in a row. Unreal. Unreal. Anyway, because you don't have that.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When they cut my check, say, here, Mike, defensive consultant, here's your hoodie. I definitely need a hoodie, too. That's in the deal. I need a hoodie and sweats. For sure, I need a hoodie. They can keep the shoes. All the Seahawks shoes are ugly, but... And your hoodie, sweats, here's your check. What we do, say, hey, we're going, what are you saying? Remember the Titans? Say, we're going to blitz them. Say, I want them to get another yard.
If they get another yard, yeah, you'll be doing something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty much. That's
yeah, exactly.
A powerful scene. I might even add that in the audio.
Yeah, if we got the licensing, I won't get sued. last thing, like, yeah, remember the Titans again, where this time it was Denzel. He was like, if you fumble my football, you run a mile. You know, you miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. You do whatever, I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts, and then you run a mile. Same thing here. You get to Kyler, and you miss, I'm not going to make you run a mile, but it's going to be hell to pay. That's what I would do.
The bench?
Maybe worse than that. I don't know. Maybe I'll call Chris Collinsworth to have him spotlight you and show it on national TV, embarrass you in front of your family.
Coach Yost. All right,
yeah, now. Yeah, no, that's the way
I
do. Yeah.
I don't want them to gain another yard. You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out.
There you go. I don't know how realistic a threat like that would be in the NFL.
They didn't
game.
Get another yard, I tell you that.
Yeah.
It's a movie, though.
They also, yeah, they won the game on an 80-yard reverse with their backup quarterback. That ain't real.
Geno, that your number real. Has been called.
Geno's on an injury report. He ain't played a snap all season. Anyway, let's switch gears a little bit here because I've been studying See, I've been studying what's wrong with DK versus the Cardinals in particular. And I posed this question to Brian Schottenheimer because I was doing some research and I was like, I found that DK's least productive games for the most, he wasn't very productive against the Rams either, but his least productive games, all three of them, are all against Arizona. And Vance Joseph, the coordinator in Arizona, they're against Vance Joseph defenses. In the first game, this is October 2019, and this Patrick Peterson didn't play. I think he was suspended for being on the juice, or PEDs, whatever. He had four targets, one catch, 6 yards, no scores. In the rematch, one target, which he dropped, no catches. Obviously, he didn't score, no yards. In the earlier game this year, 5 targets, 2 catches, 23 yards, no scores. So I'm like, yo, what's going on? You know, and Shoddy was like, nah, Mike, they're not really doing nothing special. They just, Patrick lines up. They just play coverage. He's not getting the ball. And I'm like, it can't be that, right? They got to be doing something. So I watched all three games again. He's mostly right. They aren't doing anything special. Patrick follows him. Russ don't throw it. That's dumb. But there's other things working, too. Like, the O-lines have been just atrocious. One of those O-lines, like, Jamarco was starting at left tackle. Ethan was in there, like, left guard. Joey was in there at center. It was just a mess. Chandler Jones had probably the best defensive performance I've ever seen in my life. He had 4 sacks. It was ridiculous. There was, some, like, all the hot routes were going to, like, the tight ends. Like, Travis Homer led the team in targets in one of those games. Will Disley led the team in targets in another one of those games. They just really just take out the big plays, and they take the outside of the field away from Russ. Like, none of their receivers ever really have good games. The only exception is Tyler, and this last one had the best receiving game I've ever seen. So if I walk into the other side of the building at the VMAC and say, hey, guys, the defense just gave me a bag and they gave me a sweatsuit. I can help you on offense too, but I need a better sweatsuit and I need another bag. If they say, cool, here, Mike, now you're an offensive consultant for the week. Like, great. I'm going to buy a house after this. I walk in there and I say, every player should start with DK and work backwards. It has to. Start there. Make them have to. Because the other thing I've noticed, they're not really even having to guard DK much. Like, there's all these long developing routes and comebacks and stuff that takes a long time that you need protection for. And all the quick stuff goes to Tyler over the middle or the running backs or, like I said, the tight ends. We're going to start with DK and work our way backwards. And, like, we'll just go from there. That's, like, our fundamental principle. We're going to get DK the ball even if it freaking kills us. And we're going to get creative with it. Because when I was watching the tape, I'm like, you know, a lot of this stuff is just taking a while. And that's part of it. Like, I understand because they want to go deep a lot, too. They haven't been able to go deep with any player, really, against Arizona. I was like, we're going to get him the ball. That's it. Plain and simple. That'll be $100,000.
To add to that, the one way you can get him the ball first, quickly, would be testing to see what coverages you are seeing. The best way to tell what a defense is doing is movement.
Yep.
Whether you're moving your receivers, running backs, tight ends, that's one way to gauge, okay, they're in man if they follow. If the corner follows the receiver from one side of the field to another, you can bet your money they're in man. If you move a guy and the corner's staying outside, but he might come inside a little bit, you can bet your money they're in zone.
Probably, yep.
With DK and Patrick Peterson, you're going to assume that he's probably playing a lot of man. One way to figure that out, ding, 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 you guessed it. You just got to bring him in motion.
Move him, yeah.
And that's something that, A, can create space for DK, because now Patrick Peterson has to worry about a whole other set of problems. He's moving. If they snap the ball right now, I'm out of position. I have to follow him. And right. DK, we know, runs a what, Mike?
4-3-8. The Twins run 4-3-8.
Once he gets going, it's a wrap. So now Patrick Peterson's in probably a mode where he's thinking, okay, I'm already in trail mode. If he runs a drag route, it's going to be really hard for me to, A, make a play on it, and B, wrap this guy up if I'm behind him. There are multiple route concepts that the Seahawks can run to get DK open, and it starts with the game plan. You say get to him early? Okay, well, the first play of the game should be, hey, DK, let's see what they're in. Slide on over. And this, of course, means that Russ can't get to the line with 9 seconds left. It's got to be, you know, 15,
yeah,
16
you gotta
seconds.
Yeah, you got to be decisive with it, yeah.
You got to be on time with these things. Now you can, hey, DK, slide over. Okay, he's not moving. All right, DK, stay right here. Hot route. You're going to do a quick out route. 6 yards. Perfect. It works because guess who's not following? Patrick Peterson. Now you have him matched up against someone else who is not Patrick Peterson. Okay, Patrick Peterson didn't follow him. All right, we're going to move you back. But while you're moving back, we are going to call hike, and we're going to have you do a zig route. You're going to go up like you're going to go in, then you're going to break out. Patrick's not going to be able to stop that. And if he is, all power to him. But I don't see that happening when you have a guy who is moving. And now what that concept creates is it opens up the playbook. Because now if he's stationary, there's only a certain amount of routes you can run.
Right, especially when you're just always on the outside.
Especially when you're on the outside.
Which he wasn't in all these games, to be fair. He lines up in the slot, which is the only place Patrick doesn't follow him.
Which is, so that's a key right there. He doesn't follow him in the slot. Ding, 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 ding. Hey, guys, I know he's not the best route runner, but if they're going to have a zone, a linebacker or another corner on DK, I like the chances of DK getting open.
Barbecue chicken.
I think he's proven this season that he is capable of getting open on cornerback twos, nickelbacks, dime packages, whatever the case may be. You got to take your challenge there and just say, hey, we're going to get you the ball. Especially if Patrick Peterson is not going to guard you right now. That is, we're all in.
Yeah, and eventually you got to throw on Pat too, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Bring him in motion. And then you catch him off guard where you don't move him at all. Maybe it's a no huddle.
Or you move someone else.
There's tons of things the Seahawks can do. It really starts with the game plan.
You should get a sweatsuit from him too.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can talk about that later. But the main goal is you just got a game plan to get DK involved without having him be just the outside guy. And if he is going to be the slot, move him to the outside or move him to the slot. Patrick Peterson, what did he say on the podcast that you listened to not too long ago? And talking about what DK is probably going to do and how he knows that the Seahawks are going to attack him?
Yeah, I forget the name of the podcast, but I was listening to it this morning. He basically said that he expects him to get DK involved early, his slants, go balls, and he knows that when DK gets the ball early, it's fuel for the offense. Now the whole thing is going and everyone's basically screwed. So Patrick Peterson said, and I quote, he said, when DK is taking the top off the defense, making those strong catches, making those big plays, making those guys miss, it definitely fuels into that team. I have to do my best to make sure that I slow him down and make sure they can't feed off his energy. I have a tall task ahead of me that I'm definitely prepared for.
Boom.
Yeah, like he knows, he already knows what's coming, but it doesn't matter. It's just what we're talking about, the opposite of what I think the defense should do. They usually wait and then they react. No. You take the fight to them.
Take the fight
first
to Patrick.
Because right now Patrick is winning. He is kicking the Seahawks' ass.
He's already done the work. He just told you the routes he's probably gonna come out and do. Slants and goes. Meaning he's gonna shade the inside, and guess what? If DK tries to get inside, Patrick's like, bro, you're not going nowhere.
Yeah, because he's also just a good player.
Right?
Yeah, on that same podcast, we should probably say the name of their show. I forget. It's whatever the one Jamal Adams was just on and was talking about his depression in New York. It was that one. I just can't remember the name of it right now. But on that podcast, their numbers line up with what I've seen as well, that in about 70 plays against Patrick Peterson, DK has 5 targets with only 1 catch, and it went for 6 yards. And it's weird how the 6 yards are being counted, because from what I can tell, those 6 yards are being credited on the screen pass that he caught in overtime that was then called back. So take that for what it is. So but that is his only catch against Patrick Peterson, which is that's just ridiculous, man. You can't play 2 games against this dude in that many plays and have 1 catch.
Yeah.
Like, and even the 5 targets ain't enough. One of those targets was picked off, but the 5 targets isn't even enough. I know forcing the ball to players is not like an ideal thing, but there's a difference between forcing and then just designing your offense around your best dude. Like, the Packers figure out a way to get Davante Adams the ball like 10 times a night when their other players are dudes with abbreviations in their names and stuff like that. For real, man. Marquez, whoever's and whatever's. They got dudes that sound like made-up names over there in Green Bay, yet a guy like Davante Adams can get all these targets and stuff like that. The Seahawks should be able to do some of those similar things, even if someone like DK isn't as good of a route runner as Devontae. The mismatch he creates is just ridiculous. And when you get him going, like you said, Chris, it's a different bag than literally everyone else in the league.
And even sometimes when you see Patrick playing off 10 yards, giving him cushion because he's in probably a zone, you can do a quick smoke screen is what they call it. Just throw it directly to him. Call audible, whatever route you plan on running, cancel it. Hot route it to a smoke route. Snap the ball and immediately throw it right to DK. Patrick's going to have a very tough time covering 10 yards in a second. And then trying to tackle DK. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a tall task.
Well, that's how they scored the damn touchdown in overtime. Well, I mean, David Moore was holding. But essentially, like, he if Demo doesn't hold, DK probably still scores.
Yeah.
But at the very least, he gets the first downs, and Russ doesn't probably just throw an interception on the next play.
And those are things, as Schottenheimer and Russ are game plan, you got to think, you know, why not? I mean, they do it to Ty Lockett sometimes, and he'll get 4 yards and duck down. Well, you have a 6'3 guy that's not going to duck down. He's going to try to run you over.
Man, they've ran those plays to Freddie Swain. They've ran him to – I'm run those to – honestly, his only catch in the first game against Arizona, like his first career game in October of 2019, his only catch is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Some dude named Kevin Peterson's playing off – it said K. Peterson in the game book, and I was like, what the hell is
this?
I was like, I'm going to just put K. Peterson in my notes and go look it up. His name's Kevin. Kevin Peterson.
Shout out Kevin.
Yeah, number 27, Kevin Peterson. He's playing off of DK, just like you said. Threw it right to him. He lowered his shoulder, 6 yards. Boom.
That's fine.
Honestly, that's better than a run play on first down.
And then you've brought it up a few times where you can have to help this running game because Chris Carson, and we don't know the status of Carlos Hyde, although he might play, it sounds like. Get him going in a jet sweep. Get DK going on run plays. I mean, that's another way to get him going. He loves contact.
I think they ran it to him once last year. Against Cleveland?
If you watch Deebo Samuel, you can't tell me DK can't do the same thing.
Yeah, I would definitely run it to... I mean, shoot, the Patriots are running it to Aaron Hernandez before. I'm cool with running it to... I mean, the Bears just ran it to... copying the Bears on offense is not always good.
Disclaimer. Cordell Patterson?
Yeah, but they're running it to Cordell Patterson. Yeah. I think the Vikings used to run it to Percy Harvin. Yeah. Like, you get the dudes the ball.
That's really what it comes down to.
I hear them talking about balance, like Shoddy and Pete. Like, we need to be more balanced. Balance is stupid. You get the ball to your best players. I don't give a damn who those guys are. You get it to them. Screw balance. You need to do what is most efficient. Balance is overrated.
It's funny you mentioned balance is dumb. Did the Bills look pretty balanced in that win over the Seahawks? Absolutely not.
No, they threw the ball like every freaking play and threw for 400 and whooped the Seahawks' ass. That's just how you do. Balance overrated. You just need to do what is most efficient. Efficiency is more important than balance for the sake of balance. Like, yeah, if you're going to run the ball, be good at it, for sure.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean throw it 60 times and run it once if you have a good run game.
Yeah.
Because a good run game will always help you because a good running game is efficiently moving the ball. If you're, you know, like I do believe in that. I wrote about it this morning. So, yo, if you're gonna run the ball, be good at it. Don't just run it just because to say we ran it. That's dumb. You should do what your team is most efficient at, and that right now is getting the ball to freaking DK, who averages like 15 yards every time he touches the rock.
There it is. And by the way, the podcast that you're referencing with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden is All Things Covered.
That's Brian McFadden. They were calling him B-Mac. And I was like, who the hell is that?
Never heard of him.
I only know one B-Mac, and that's Bradley McDougal.
I was thinking the same thing.
He's on IR for the Jets.
Yeah.
Brian McFadden.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's a good show.
That is the podcast that you can go listen to Patrick Peterson talking about what he plans to do against DK in the second matchup on Thursday Night Football. But before we get out of here, we haven't done this in a long time, outside of maybe in your stories you'll say the prediction.
Yeah, I do a prediction every week.
But now it's on the pod. It's a little different. Mike, who you got winning this game? Thursday Night Football, man.
It's really hard for me to pick against the Action Green gang. It really
is. This will be their first loss, it sounds like.
Man, they've had some that's the thing about the Action Green jerseys. They've almost been, like, lucky in a way. So, like, I think one of the Action Green wins is against the Rams on Thursday Night Football when Greg Zuerlein, I think is their kicker at the time, misses a kick and they win. And then I think one of them is earlier this year against the Vikings where DK catches the ball on fourth down, which that's not luck necessarily, but they did have, they completed some fourth downs that are like,
huh?
Ooh, man, yo. So it does feel like they've been playing with fire in the Action Green jerseys, but I'm gonna go with Arizona. Let's see. Do I need a score?
Well, we do it to everyone else. What makes you different?
That's true. We didn't make Jordan give us a score, but
we let her slide.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Jordan's dope. She gets
Mike. You're dope too, by the way. Just so you don't feel like you're not.
No, Jordan's a different type of dope though. She's fire. So let's go with, I'll go with Arizona 32. Seahawks 28.
That's a heartbreaker. That means you're going to send that famous tweet out, and it's going to be a bunch of, I'm dying. We're used to this every week.
I got
to
stop asking people how they feeling, because I'm starting to get worried about people's mental health.
That's why you're going to ask it, and people are going to be sending them things in. You're going to be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have sent it.
Yeah, they'd be like, yo, I'm drinking. Mike, I'm dying. Yo, my anxiety's kicking in. It's like, you know, like, it'd be just, I'd be like, yo, you guys, sports should not be making you feel this way. But that's what I got. I think I'll go with Arizona by 4.
Okay, there it is. Mike's prediction in the books. We have it solidified. We will come back to you guys, of course, after.
Wait, you're not giving a prediction?
I tried to sneak out, and here you are.
Hey, no, what? Hell no. You ain't sneaking out.
All right. This is a tough one. I picked the Seahawks to win the last two games, and if you haven't realized, I've actually been wrong about those two games. And now I'm in the perfect spot to pick a game again, and I just don't know which way to go. But I ultimately don't know if the defense is going to be able to slow down this offense in Arizona. There's already injuries. Last time they played, they had Shaquille Griffin, right?
Yeah.
And they had Dunbar.
They did, although both of those guys gave up touchdowns.
To my point, they both gave up touchdowns. And to expect
– they gave up 3 touchdowns in total, I think.
DJ Reed and Trey Flowers to have a better performance, that's a tall task. And I'm not saying they can't do it. I just don't know if they will get it done. And it's no slide to them. If they're going up against – a really talented offense that just came off a huge win on a freaking Hail Mary to one of the best receivers in the game.
Also lucky. Hail Marys are kind of lucky.
Well, you don't see them often.
No, you do not.
Anyways, I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals to win this game 29-27. Even worse. It's a 2-point victory.
Yeah, that's close. I think I've picked every game right except for the Bills game. Because I never made a pick before the Arizona game,
Okay. Actually.
So I didn't – maybe I made a pick on radio or something, but I don't remember, honestly. I don't think I did. So, yeah, I think I've only got the Bills game.
Well, we will remember this because it's A, written down, and it's B, it's audio. So I can always pull it up.
Okay.
But yeah. Hopefully you are wrong, and the Seahawks – hopefully we're both wrong and the Seahawks win. That would be nice because if they go to 6-4, now you're in trouble in the NFC West because the Cardinals would be clearly the number one seed. And then you have the Rams – they have a really tough schedule coming up. I'm not sure how they're going to fare.
They'll probably lose on Monday night, but I don't think it'll matter too much.
And then you have the Seahawks who have a breeze.
Yeah, the next 4 weeks. But I think
it becomes interesting.
Our show on Thursday night will be reflective of the mood of the team if they lose. I can guarantee that. Whether they lose by 20 or lose by a point and a half, like it's going to be ugly.
It's going to be ugly.
If they drop 3 straight games, 3 of those against division opponents. Or if they drop, my math is bad. No, they will have lost 3 division games.
Yeah.
But they won't. The 3 straight does not include all division games, right? Because they beat the Niners and lost to the Bills. But yeah, if they'll be 1-3 in the division,
it's tough to bounce.
Lost
back
the last 3, yeah, that's gonna be.
You have to win out.
You ain't getting the 1 seed.
That's true. You just gotta beat the Rams and the Niners and hope that the other teams, you know, have a little tough streak.
Yeah, we'll see.
What's been the Seahawks Man to Man podcast? We thank you guys for tuning in. We'll catch you after the Thursday night matchup of Seahawks and Cardinals. Ooh, you make my heart come down. Always tripping when you come around. I'm gonna have to cut you off like right now. You see, I don't have to drive me. If you say that for your mama, maybe you should smoke some. You try the marijuana. Shows you a couple of things and they ain't finished trying. I treated you right. Everything was a gift from a time to your